Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's talk about Matt Ryan. Matty Ice, they call him. Falcons' biggest Super Bowl comeback of all time. Patriots came back and beat him. It had to be the most... I mean, I know Falcon fans. I have, my brother lives in Atlanta. Nothing will top this in their lifetimes. This is... You know, I mentioned Tony, his fan of the Buffalo Bills. I don't think anything wide right. This is wide right times 10, but whatever. And I think the fact that Brady is Brady and the Patriots are the Patriots has overshadowed the pain that the Falcons fan, you know, because this is celebrated, this amazing sure. comeback and Brady's crowning jewel in his crown. But it's not, it's much more painful, I think, for the Falcon fans. So you think that Matt Ryan would be, have you watched the film? No way. But he said... He's as a celebrity amateur golf tournament in Duluth, and he basically was asked, "Have you watched the Super Bowl?" And he said, "No, I've watched it. I watched it the day after. I watched it 2 days after. I watched it 3 days after." He's watched it over and over and over again, which I think is unbelievable when you really stop and think about it, because it was just so painful, and he played such a good game for 2.5 quarters, and then. They kind of went in the can after that. It wasn't all on him, but the strip sack fumble, whatever that was, didn't help. And that's kind of on him. Now, as fans, maybe, you know, we always think fans, we take losses harder than the players do. There's at least one event in my life that caused me great, great pain that I can tell you I've only watched one time. And I've never, if it comes on again, I'll just kind of go, I'll turn the channel, or it's not that notable of a thing. But for me, it was huge. And that was the 2002 World Series, the Giants and the Angels. The Giants were ahead 3-2 and they completely it away in game 6 and they lost game 7. Now people are going, hey, idiot, shut up, because the Giants have won 3 straight. I understand that. I don't lament it now, but at the time, it was deeply painful for me.
I'm just curious. Wasn't it like 8-1? Didn't you guys lead game 6, 8-1?
5-0.
Okay, close enough.
5-0 in the 7th. So I've the final out of game 7, I really haven't watched game 6 ever again either. But for the final out of game 7, you think the last out of the World Series you would see, I've only seen it once. It's such a painful event in my life that I've never gone back and watched it. I can't believe Matt Ryan's watched this thing. Do you have things in your life that you've literally...
Yeah. Like one, and it's recent, too. And there's been a lot. I mean, being a Detroit sports fan, there's been a ton. And, you know, we talk about it every now and then. But for me, it was a couple years ago when Aaron Harrison hits that shot for Kentucky against Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
To send Kentucky to the Final Four instead of Michigan to the Final Four for a second straight year. Remember they made it the year before with Trey Burke.
Yes.
Burke left and Stauskas and Robinson, all those guys were still there. And it was a tie game. And with like 2 seconds left, you know, the Harrison brothers, they both played on that team.
It was a prayer of a shot.
Guy
too.
In his face yeah. too, just launches a shot and nails it. They call a timeout, Michigan does. And they lost it. And, you know, yeah, I haven't watched it again.
You're talking about the one that Evan right. Jenkins has a picture
every
of on
time
his desk.
Every time I walk by a Sox office, I see the picture of Harrison, guy in his face, and he still nails that shot.
248-539-9797. Is there a play or a game? It could be any game that you just have never, you've watched it once and can never go back. Or are you one of those torture freaks? Whoa, Stoney. Where you want to watch it over and over again, where you have seen the game that causes you the most angst, and you will watch it over and over again. For sports fans, sometimes it's more painful for sports fans than it is for the players themselves. There are certain things that sports fans just can't watch. They just can't. It brings back too many memories. Like a ticket texter here, Michigan's loss to Ohio State in 2006. What sucks about that for Michigan football fans is, yes, brutal loss. Big Ten Network loves that game. not only do they show that game over and over again, they also put together an hour long or two, it was an hour long special about it, which they like to air, which was a really good special, but it's a painful memory for Michigan football fans.
You know what's always on the NFL Network is the Favre to Sharp game.
Yes.
At the Silver Dome. And I turn that off too, because you watch it the first couple times and it's hard to watch. It is because for some reason he's wide open and you see Chris Spielman in coverage. Like, what the hell happened?
The thing about that one
for some reason
is that game was blacked out.
It was. You're right. It wasn't sold out.
And so a lot of people have seen it because it was so horrific and seen the highlights, but they haven't seen that whole game.
Yeah. No, you're right.
They're not missing much.
Dennis in St. Clair Shores. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Oh, there you go. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Jeff. Happy Easter to the both of you.
Thank you. Same to you.
My one memory that I can't go back to is the 2012 championship game, game two, where Boston had no pulse. And Leland decides to tell our reliever, Joaquin Benoit, to pitch Mr. Ortiz carefully.
2013.
That was 2013.
Yeah.
I think
that's all right.
Anyway, in that situation, you walk the guy, make them get three other hits to take the lead. Any other guy in baseball, you just can't take that situation, let one guy beat you. They had three hits in two games. I think Dusty Baker, who I consider one of the best managers. I love Baker. And, Jamie, you brought it up in the 2002 World Series. He walked Mark McGwire in that season alone with the bases loaded twice with a two-run lead and a three-run lead, and in both situations won the game, and in both situations was Barry Bonds. Why do you pitch to one guy that can kill you? I still believe to this day if you walk him, and with Verlander in a three-game series coming back to Detroit, they sweep that. To go to the World Series.
Hey, Dennis.
That's the one that killed me.
That's totally fair, but...
Wait. Hold on a sec. You're saying that they should have walked David Ortiz intentionally?
Yes.
With the bases
loaded? No. To make it 5-2. Yes.
Wow.
Why would you pitch to him, Jamie?
You're exaggerating your Dusty Baker facts. I believe, and I'll look this up, that Buck Showalter, when he was managing the Arizona Diamondbacks, walked Bonds intentionally in a regular season game. And that was highly controversial and unprecedented, I think, I want to say. In game two of the American League Championship Series, eighth inning, bottom of the eighth, bases loaded.
Yeah.
I do not believe you can walk in a run. What just happened there to me is the very definition of Monday morning quarterbacking. Easy to say that now because Ortiz did hit the grand slam, but to sit here and say they should have walked in a run in Fenway Park, I'm sorry. I'm not going to second guess Leland that way. No way.
Well, the biggest second guess though is why he didn't go to Coke instead of Benoit, considering the numbers Coke had against Ortiz. But then we all know who Phil Coke is, and if he would have given up a bomb, we would have killed Leland for that.
Yeah.
But Leland, and we had him on last week when you were on vacation.
Yeah.
He'll tell you that it was game three, because game three, they lost 1-0.
And Verlander
gave up a solo shot to Napoli.
Yeah.
And they couldn't find a way to score a run.
Right.
Two runs to win it.
And that was when Austin Jackson was struggling mightily and Prince was being Prince and all that stuff. So.
They got great pitching in that series. Remember game six, Varens
gave up. You know what you guys are doing right now?
Yeah.
You're torturing people.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, that's the topic, right?
Sorry about that. But I mean, I'm just saying... No, the caller suggested that they should have walked Ortiz intentionally. I mean, come on.
Who would have been up after Ortiz? Do you know that Red Sox lineup?
No, I don't. Off the top of my head, I do not. Napoli? I mean, I don't know the lineup that way. Ellsbury? Or is Ellsbury gone by that? Ellsbury's gone by that.
No, Ellsbury was... I think it was gone.
Yeah.
I think it was in New York. Yeah.
Jerry in Warren. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I have two of them. One of them is... When Burr stole the ball from Isaiah, that one really hurt. That hurt for a long, long time.
But have you never watched? You've seen that play. That play's on all the time, right?
Yeah, and it hurt for a long time until it was topped a couple of years ago. And I finally got over it, and it was topped a couple of years ago. And when the Michigan State guy locked the Michigan putt and ran it back to the house.
Jalen Watch Jackson.
We're getting a lot of that. In fact, I want to read this ticket text right here. This is from Joe in Ann Arbor. I have never seen the last play of the Michigan-Michigan State game in 2015. I wouldn't be able to unsee it. I don't know how that's possible.
They played it for a straight week.
Well, no, but I'm saying if you were watching the game, you didn't turn it off because it was such a, it was still, you know, they could have tackled him.
And maybe he was listening. Maybe it was one of those times for some reason or another, he was headed to a wedding.
If you're a Michigan football fan and you heard the call, and the call's legendary because Brandstatter is just like, stops talking. And then Deardorff says, I don't know if I can talk about what we just saw. You would have to go back and watch it, wouldn't you?
I don't know, dude. If that was, let's not forget, Michigan could not beat Michigan State.
I understand
and
that,
MSU
but I'm saying it was
and they should have won that game.
It was such a fluky play that I just think in your knowledge base as a sports fan, that's something that you have to watch again.
Well, I have even a harder time believing that by accident they didn't see it because they showed it on every highlight package and on every game it seemed like that season and are still showing it.
Mm-hmm. Ticket text 97136. The caller's exactly right. Your conventional baseball logic is flawed by not walking Ortiz. Really? Another ticket text. A 70% chance David Ortiz fails in that situation with the bases loaded. That caller's an idiot. That's a better way of saying it. I don't want to say the caller was an idiot because he was very nice to us, but I do think he is falling into the trap of classic second guessing, which I think also applies in some ways to the trouble with a snap play. I think everything possible had to go wrong on that play for Michigan State to win the game. Now, maybe they shouldn't have had gunners, all that stuff. Yes. But in terms of punting the ball, some people suggest that they should have just had quarterback drop back, Rudock run all around and throw the ball way up in the air. And I'm like, too many bad things can happen there.
Okay. And then he runs around and he fumbles and they pick that up and they return it for a touchdown. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
A completely fluke play happened. By the way, Mike Napoli was after Ortiz in that game too.
I was guessing. It turned out to be a very good guess.
What a great guess. Yes, it was. No, yeah, it was Napoli.
Yeah.
The trouble with the snap thing still hurts when I hear it. Yeah. And it really did for the first year.
No, I know. Have you watched it, like, though?
You've watched it. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't avoid it.
Yeah. the walking David Ortiz has now taken over the ticket text. Come on, people. I screamed at the TV, walk Ortiz before the at-bat. You definitely walk that guy in that situation.
Okay.
Here's what you definitely do. You don't throw a pitch to him that he can hit out.
Right. You pitch him. Well, that's exactly
what you dance around him,
so,
and then if it leads to a walk.
Yeah, but sometimes
you're going on the premise that you don't put the winning run on at the plate, right?
Well, maybe you don't pitch Al Albuquerque from the get-go.
I'm going on the premise that in the history of postseason baseball, this has never happened.
Guys, it was a 5-1 game.
Thank you.
It was a 5-1 game, so if you do walk him, then you make it 5-2.
And the winning run does come to the plate.
But there was also two outs as well. So I guess I could see the logic, and if you think you should walk him, if you're that afraid of David Ortiz. But I also see the logic that there's a great chance he's not going to do anything in that situation or, hit it.
See, I don't buy that, though, that the whole you're going to fail 70% of the time thing, because that's situational. He's going to do better than that in that situation. This isn't like a July 26th at bat.
Okay, I give him that. He's David Ortiz. He's got a penchant for the big moments. It's Fenway Park. It's the playoffs. It's October. It's still less than 50%, though.
Yeah.
You don't want to say it's by the average, fine. But the odds are still in your favor that he is going to make an out.
Do you know how
and
many,
the odds are significantly in your favor that he's not going to hit a grand slam.
Do you know how many Tiger pitchers pitched in that bottom half of the eighth inning? Three. Veris, Smiley, Albuquerque, Benoit. Never had a good bullpen, ever.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.